I'm going to read out of the Bible like we've done every single night for about 10 or 15 minutes. And this is the most important part of the service, so this is where I need everybody sitting real still and on your very best behavior. And this is also, Brother Ed, the most important time to decide, maybe narrow it down to two or three of the best boys and the best girls. Sister Mara, this is the most important time to be on the lookout for that young man or young lady who's sitting up straight and tall and watching. All week long, we've been talking about the King. And the theme of our VBS is, who is the king of your castle? Who is the king of your heart? And I think many of you have made a decision this week to make Jesus the savior of your life. And that's wonderful. By the way, 35 young people have walked the aisle and said, I want to trust Jesus as my savior. And by the way, we had an adult here last night who, after the service, went and talked to Brother Reiser, and an adult man who's been coming to church here, and I'm real proud of him, and he received Jesus Christ as his Savior last night. So there's a lot of people making the good decisions about making Jesus the Savior of their life. But I don't want you to just get saved, and I don't want you to just make Jesus your Savior. I want you to make Jesus your king. Now, I'm going to read a story about a man who, when he found out that Jesus was coming to be a king, had a very interesting reaction. Let me read the story. And this happened, watch this, right after Jesus was born. I mean, he was just a baby. In Matthew chapter number 2, we read this. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, watch this, this is what they asked. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, I want you to get the story so far. We're in Jerusalem. Here comes three strangely dressed Oriental men. And I mean, you could tell by their garments and by their raiment, by what they were wearing, you could tell these are very important men, very wise men, very scholarly men. I mean, these aren't the average travelers. And they come into Jerusalem, and all Jerusalem's kind of like, whoa, because this is not what you see every day. Can you imagine if three men came on camels into Jasonville and went down Main Street? I think everybody might just go, whoa, that's something you don't see every day. And so Jerusalem stops, and they watch these three men come. And they stop, and they look around, and they say, who's in charge? Who's in charge? We got a question. Well, I work for the king. I work for Herod. What's your question? Well, here's our question. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They found out by studying the Old Testament prophets that Jesus was going to be born, and they wanted to find him. The wise men were excited. They wanted to find Jesus. They wanted to come worship him. They brought him precious gifts. Remember the story, the manger scene, where they come in and they present to him, you remember the presents they bring? Gold and frankincense. Or when I was a kid, I used to say gold and Frankenstein and myrrh. But it wasn't Frankenstein, it was frankincense, all right? And myrrh! They brought very expensive gifts to give to Jesus. They were excited that there was going to be a king born. They were happy there was going to be a king born. But wait a minute. That wasn't the reaction of this man. Watch this. When Herod, that's the ruler in Jerusalem, when Herod the small k, king, Herod the king, had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them, where Christ should be born. Hey, I want you to study this. Who is this King of the Jews? Find out where he's supposed to be born at. Well, they came back and say, well, he's not supposed to be born here in Jerusalem. He's supposed to be born in a little town called Bethlehem. That's what the Bible says. And so King Herod comes out and he sees these wise men. Only behind closed doors, he's angry about the fact that a king has been born. But he comes out with a big smile on his face and he says to the wise men, he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, you go find him. And then you send me word again if you find him, because I want to come and worship him also. Wait a minute. Herod wasn't being truthful. You see, Herod was not excited that there was a king being born. Herod was not excited that there was going to be a king come from heaven. Herod was the king. That's what he's called right here in this story. And you know what? He felt jealous. He felt threatened. Wait a minute. I'm the king in Jerusalem. What do you mean there's going to be some other king? Oh, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Let's play along with the wise men, and we'll send them to go search for the king. And when they find the king, are you looking up here? Are you listening? And when they find Jesus, this Jesus, the king, they'll come back and tell me, only we won't come and worship him. We'll send soldiers and we'll kill him. Now, can I just show you this? Watch this. Look right up here. On this side, we have the three wise men. And they're excited that a king is coming. They want to worship the king. They want to present gifts to the king. They want to come greet the king. They're happy that there's a king coming. And then we have Herod over here on this side. And as soon as he hears about the fact that there's going to be a king, he gets angry. The Bible says he's troubled. He's mad. You know what? He's already devising a plot to kill the king of the Jews because he don't want there to be any other king because he's already the king. Well, shepherds found out that Jesus was being born. Do you know how they found out? The angels told them. And the angels were excited, and they came down, and they began to sing and praise God. And the angels were glad that there was a king. So we have wise men glad. We got angels glad. And by the way, the shepherds are glad. They wanted to find him too. Wait a minute. Everybody seems to be happy, but this guy. Over here, Herod's mad. I don't want a king. I'm the king. I don't want somebody else being the king. I'm the king. Let's find this King Jesus. And let's kill him. I don't want him to be king. I want to be king. Are you listening to me? You say, preacher, what has that got to do with the theme of our vacation Bible school? All week long, look right up here, because now we're going to come visit right all of us right in here. Listen, all week long, you know what the Bible has taught us? Jesus is the king. Jesus wants to be king of your life. Jesus wants to be the one that sits on the throne of your heart. Jesus wants to be the one that is to be listened to and to be obeyed. Jesus, by the way, is a good king, a gracious king. He would never ask you to do anything that wasn't for your own good. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. He wants to rule your life because he knows better than we do the best way to live and what's ahead and what's in our future. Watch this. Every single person in this auditorium, when they hear the idea of Jesus becoming king, they have one or two reactions. You can be like the wise man and say, you mean Jesus? God's son? You mean Jesus? The Messiah? You mean Jesus, the kind and compassionate Savior? He wants to be king of my life? Hey, I'm glad about that. I want to go find him. I want to invite him into my heart. I want him to sit upon the throne of my heart. I want him to be king. I want to give him the best gifts I've got. That's how a lot of people, or at least some people, receive the news of Jesus wanting to be king. But sadly, in this day and age, there's a lot of people that are like Herod. By the way, let me just ask you something, and I want you to be real honest with me about this. And only you will know the answer, and I don't want you to answer out loud. I want you to answer in your heart. When I say this, Jesus wants to be the king of your life, what happens in your heart? Jesus wants to sit on the throne of your life, what happens in your heart? Is there a little bit of, come on, let's be honest, is there a little bit of Herod in you? Is there something that kind of rises up and says, wait a minute, I don't need a king. I don't want somebody else to be king. You remember what Herod was? Herod was a king, small k. I'm king. I don't want somebody else ruling over me and reigning over me and sitting on the throne of my, wait a minute, I don't like that idea. And I'm going to tell you right now, young people, look right up here, look right up here, look right up here. There's a lot of people in this generation that have that attitude towards Jesus. But every once in a while, you'll find some young people that have the same reaction as the wise men. And when they hear a preacher read the Bible, and when they hear the news that Jesus wants to be king of their life, they don't have this negative Herod reaction over here. You know what they do? They have this very wise reaction. And they say, Jesus loves me. And Jesus wants to save me. And Jesus is willing to sit on the throne of my life. And Jesus is going to show me the plan he has for my life. And he's given me a book so that I know how to live. And he's got my whole future planned out. And he's got a wonderful life for me. Hey, I want him to sit on the throne of my life. Now, let me ask you something. I'm going to start getting down to where we kind of, all right, I got some older kids here. And I got, wait a minute. Will you allow Jesus to be king of your music? Come on, come on. Not time to bow your head. We're not praying yet. Would you allow Jesus to be king of your dress, the way you dress? Would you allow Jesus to be king of where you go and where you don't go? Would you allow Jesus to be king of what you say and what you won't say? I mean, is there something inside of you that even when I'm saying this is rising up kind of like Herod and saying, no, wait a minute. I want to be king when it comes to my music. I want to be king in how I dress. I want to be king in where I go. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Watch this. You can be saved, but really never let Jesus be the king that he wants to be in your life. We've had a lot of young people get saved this week. And you know what? If you haven't gotten saved and you realize today that you're a sinner, and we said that sin was breaking God's rules, breaking God's laws, and you realize that you're a sinner. One little girl came to me last night before she got saved, and she said, preacher, I know what sin is. I mean, before I could get somebody talking to her, I said, what is it? She said, it's the bad things that we do. And I said, have you done those things? And she said, yes. And I knew she was ready to get saved because you know what? You could tell she was under conviction about her sin. Hey, hey, listen. Do you know that you've sinned? Has God been speaking to your heart? Let me ask you this. If you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? And if you have never been saved, let me ask you this. Wouldn't tonight be a great night to get saved? Hey, preacher, how do I get saved? Well, God sent Jesus to be born. We've seen that, but he didn't stay a baby. He grew up and lived a perfect life and never sinned one time. And because he did that, they put him on a cross, nailed him on a cross, and he died. But he didn't die for his sins because he didn't have any. Remember last night? All of our sins were put on Jesus on the cross, and he died for everybody's sins. And because he did that, he paid for everybody's sin. And if you want to be saved, you can be, and you can be saved tonight. You may be here and you may say, preacher, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure what would happen to me, but I'd really like to ask Jesus to be my Savior. Now look right up here. How many times does somebody have to be saved? One time. If you got saved last night, do you need to get saved tonight? If you got saved Monday night, do you need to get saved tonight? If you got saved a year ago or 2 years, do you need to get saved tonight? But if you've never been saved, should you get saved tonight? You really should. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want to talk to the young people, first of all, tonight, who, listen to me, who has never been saved. But God is speaking to your heart right now. You've never been saved. Preacher, I don't ever remember asking Jesus to save me, but God is speaking to my heart right now, and I know that I need to be saved, and I want to be saved. Preacher, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure what would happen, but I do need to be saved. And God spoke to my heart tonight, and I'd like to be saved tonight. With nobody looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed, if you would like to be saved tonight, preacher, I need to be saved. I'd like to be saved tonight. Would you raise your hand real high? Preacher, I need to be saved tonight. I need to be saved tonight. All of you, raise your hand. Everybody that raised their hand, look up here at me. If you raised your hand, look right up here at me. Look right up here at me. If you'd like to be saved, I'd like you to stand up right now and just walk to the nearest aisle and just come on down here. Come on, don't be shy. And talk to these guys right here. Now, this is just for those who need to be saved. Don't come up unless you need to be saved. Preacher, I need to be saved. I need to be saved tonight. And you come talk to one of these three men right here. Just go ahead and get in line. They'll get to you in just a second. Soul winners, if you'll get your Bibles and be ready to go. Remember how we're going to do it, soul winners. We're going to take them out into the foyer or down on the steps or down in one of the classrooms at the bottom of the steps, and we'll deal with them down there. If you're here and you don't know for sure that if you were to die, that you'd go to heaven, and you say, Preacher, God's been speaking to my heart, and I know that I need to be saved. Would you come up here right now?